I gave my first lecture when I was 32 years old in 1980. And then I dreamed of once to be invited to give lectures in Iceland, just like Martinus had done 6 times. The first 3 times was in 1952, 55, 58, 2 times in the 60s, and last was in 1970. But I had to wait until 2013 when I retired as an engineer, 65 years old, until I got an invitation to give lectures in Iceland. And I gave a series of lectures. I arrived at the 18th and left on the 26th of June. I had chosen the month of June because there was almost midnight sun. The sun went down at 12 o'clock midnight and got up at 3 o'clock, but it didn't really get dark. It was so strange to go to bed when the sun was still shining. I also visited Einar Jonsson's museum. Martinus met this sculptor and painter several times when he visited Iceland. I gave 2 lectures, 2 public lectures, in the house of the Theosophical Society at the address at Ingolfs Street, number 22. And then I gave 4 lectures in private homes in the by the Martinus friends. And after the lecture and this question period, there was a chat in the living room at Ingolf Street 22, and there I talked to 3 elderly old gentlemen who told me that all of them had heard Martinus' first lecture in this very lecture hall in 1952. And one of them was the president of the Theosophical Society, and another one was named Erlendur Haraldsson. And I even met him in Denmark, because after my visit, he went to Denmark and gave a lecture at the Martinus Institute and also in Martinus Center Klint on near-death experiences. He had been employed at the University of Iceland and had made some research on this subject. So to me, it was something very special that I gave a lecture in this lecture hall where Martinus gave a lecture in 1952. And I got a picture, historical picture, where Martinus is standing with Greta Fels on his right hand and Paul Brunton on his left side. The first question was about macrocosmos. How does planet Earth experience life? How does the solar system experience life? How does the Milky Way experience life? It's difficult to imagine how we in lower spiral should try to imagine how this being experiences life in its own spiral. And the second question was about meditation. I was asked if Martinus actually meditated. In February 1921, Martinus went to a man called Lars Nibelwang in order to borrow a book. And the book was a theosophical book with the subject of meditation. And it was written by a German theosopher and teacher in religion called Hermann Rudolph. And Martinus went home with this book, and also the friend Lars Nibelwang gave him some good advice how to meditate. And then Martinus went home and meditated on God. And then Martinus had his big revelation. Martinus talks about the white baptism of fire, which was a Christ vision, and the golden baptism of fire. You can read about it in book number 4 on the birth of my mission. But the book was only a catalyst for this meditation. Martinus never finished the reading of the book. He even forgot the author, Hermann Rudolf, and the title of the book. But you can hear more on meditation in the question period. And the third question was about how planet Earth is living, about climate, and how human beings can influence planet Earth in a higher spiral. Here we go. So it is, of course, planet Earth's question period where you can ask questions. And if there are not that many questions, I might also explain one or two thimbles. And I just heard there is also tea upstairs afterwards. Is that right?
Yeah.
So that could also be very nice. Then we could have a little chat afterwards also. But I think in the first place, I would ask, are there any questions? It can be to the lecture, in connection with the lecture, but you're also welcome.
You're talking about the consciousness of the macros?
A macrocosmos.
A macrocosmos?
Yes.
Is there any way for us to understand that consciousness, how it is or manifests?
Yes, if we should understand macrocosmic consciousness, of course we have to have analogies. We have to see from our perspective. So, for example, if you should try to understand that the planet Earth is a living being, then Martinus explains, well, planet Earth is also like a terrestrial man. There are terrestrial men here on this planet Earth. We are a little bit egoistic and sometimes we are very kind. We are an unfinished human being. Then Martinus says, planet Earth is also an unfinished human being. Planet Earth has good sides and bad sides, just like we have. So, in that situation, you have for example, if there is a world war, then planet Earth is irritated. I can also become irritated. But if there is a high culture, what do I know, Lemuria, Atlantis, the Greek philosophers, Lao Tse, Confucius, Egypt, Tibet, and so on. Sometimes they are rising, very high cultures are rising. Then Martin says, oh, then planet Earth has very inspired thoughts. So the thoughts of planet Earth is showing through world cultures. So that's sort of, you can always do it by analogies. But when you get cosmic consciousness, you can experience it yourself. And it goes across the spiral cycles. When a human being gets cosmic consciousness, he can also see, Martinus says, with intuition, actually, you can make a journey into macrocosmos. You can make a journey into microcosmos. And sometimes I've seen some movies, they were called cosmic travel, cosmic journey, cosmic zoom. You see some human beings, then you go into their organs, you go into their cells, into their DNA molecules, into the small molecules, into the atomic kernels, the electrons, and you're making a journey down into microcosmos. You can go the other way. Oh, then you see Europe, you see the planet Earth, oh, you see the moon, you see Mars and Venus, you see the solar system, you see... the neighboring stars, you see the Milky Way, you see groups, and you can go out. Or you could also, you know, these fractals, these seahorse figures, there's a mathematical figure. Then you take such a picture, you go into a detail and make it big. You go into a new detail and make it big. You get the same picture each time. You go into a detail and you... That's also a cosmic travel. And that's what Martinus says about intuition and cosmic consciousness. You can make a travel. You can make a cosmic travel. You can go down in microcosmos for eternity. You can go on, of course, at the end with the fractals. Now I've got the principle. At the end, it's not so interesting. But in real life, there is always a small difference in the details. And you can also go the other way around. So if you question is, how can I know how this life is like? Anyway, you can only find out by cosmic consciousness. Because Martinus says that you can, this is the highest energy and you can sort of observe all things in the universe with intuition. Also life in macrocosmos and microcosmos. But it's a little bit fascinating. Maybe we are living in the lungs of a macro being. Maybe we are living in the toe. But you can't find out with normal physical senses. But you have a chance if you really want to know it. Maybe you can, when you get cosmic consciousness. Martino thinks that the bigger part of mankind will have cosmic consciousness in 3,000 years. Something is a very long time and something is a very short time. But take your time. You are... Nobody is forcing you to accelerate or to stop. It is your own wishes that decides the speed of evolution. And Martinus thinks that all wishes and desires are fulfilled. That too. I'll take you first and then you. You have a question?
Yes. I'm wondering if Martinus did at all elaborate on meditation.
Yes.
Meditation as a tool to experience cosmic consciousness.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
How?
Martinus, of course, it depends on the definition of meditation. So Martinus, he could recommend meditation as an intellectual process. You can have deep thoughts, you can think about things, and in a way you can talk to the universe about your problems or about your thinking, or you can talk to God about it. As long as meditation is an intellectual process, Martinus thinks it's good. And also Martinus says, life is teaching us. You don't experience anything by chance. Every time when a person is saying something to you, this is the speech of life, the speech of the universe, the speech of God. So in a way, the sense of our life now is to learn to understand the speech of life or the speech of God. So in a way, Martinus thinks the best thing to meditate on, that is God. To meditate on your speech with God. And he has written one article with the title Meditation. And then he recommended you could meditate over the content in our Lord's Prayer. What is meant by? And then he take every sentence and give an analysis. What can be meant by these words? And he say it's very good to think about it. But Martinus warns. He warns against some types of meditation. If it's a meditation, what do they call it today? They call it awareness. You have to become aware of your physical body. And some people are very stressed, and they can get out of their physical stress through meditation and awareness. That's good. But there is one specific kind of meditation that aims at initiation, that aims at revelation, cosmic consciousness. And Martinus warns against it. He says that can be dangerous. He never uses the word kundalini. But there are many who are trying to raise this sexual force so it goes up along the spine and goes to the brain and there is some connection. And Martinus warns against it. You could ask, why is it so important to get cosmic consciousness? It could be because you are ambitious. You are competing. I would like to get cosmic consciousness before you. Then I can be the prophet and tell you about cosmic consciousness. So you're competing. I want to win the race. I want to get cosmic consciousness before you. Then you are ambitious. You are egoistic. And if this is your attitude, I want to have cosmic consciousness in this lifetime. And it's very important that I get cosmic consciousness in this lifetime. This is very dangerous. And he says, it's not good when it's not an intellectual process. You can have a mantra or some words and you can repeat them and repeat them and repeat them and repeat them. With your will, your concentration, you can have such a meditation. And Martinus says, you can have a phrase, a sentence, a very loving sentence. And you can repeat and repeat and repeat a loving sentence. But it has an effect on your consciousness. You come into contact with the higher spiritual worlds. And you can have cosmic glimpses. You can really have cosmic experiences. But Martinus says it's a little bit to compare to, what is it called? High voltage. And there is a low voltage. So if you are not mature for cosmic consciousness, if you're not mature, you can get, then you're only adapted to low voltage. But if you, for example, if you sit 8 hours every day and repeat a loving phrase, year in and year out, it has a strong effect. And then you actually come into a very loving state. And then you get the high spiritual experiences. But this is high voltage. And the nervous system is cables that is leading this voltage. And then you can get damaged. You can get very crazy. In Denmark and in Sweden, they have something called the Kundalini Network. That is people who have had strong spiritual experiences, but they're invalids. I guess if you go into Google and just write Kundalini or Kundalini Network, you will see a lot in Danish and Swedish about Kundalini Network. And nobody is is working. Some people who get these, they think that they are Christ or something big, or but they, in a way, their nervous system is burnt down. And I once read an article in Denmark about 43 people who had this Kundalini experience too early. Nobody was able to work normally in society. They were more or less invalidated through this. So, in a way, meditation can be good, and meditation is good in the right way, but there is a certain risk. And if you meditate to get relaxed and unstressed, I think that's okay. But if you have this ambition, I want to become initiated. Why is that so important? Martinus says, you will get cosmic glimpses, spontaneous, when you are mature. They are, Martinus thinks, if you have a good relationship to God, a good relationship to other people, a good relationship to nature, you are intellectual, you are have developed feelings, and in moments where you feel, oh, life is wonderful. Iceland, the nature of Iceland, isn't it wonderful? Life is wonderful. It's so fantastic. It's wonderful. In such a moment where you are very grateful and happy and glad, you can uninspected, spontaneously become a high spiritual experience. And that's the right way. And he also say, you shouldn't expect to get a cosmic glimpse when you are angry. That's not the moment when you get the cosmic glimpses. But in the moments where you're relaxed and happy, it comes spontaneous. So Martinus think, the best way is to get the highest spiritual experiences when they come unexpectedly. Because then there is a guarantee they come at the right time. They do not come too early. If there is a flower, it is not folded out. You could go, I want it to fold it out, and you tear. But that's unnatural. Every flower will unfold when time is in. You shouldn't speed it up. Martinus has also talked about LSD and narcotics. That's also another false way to open to these cosmic experiences before. And they tried with Stanislaw Grof, it was very modern to try with LSD. And at one hospital in Denmark, they tried to treat their patients, their clients, with LSD, around 50 people. But all are invalidated, and all persons are paid pension by the state, because nobody, zero was cured by LSD therapy. So Martinus says it's so dangerous to, and sometimes, a few times, people with these experiences come to Martinus Center Clint, and I've seen some, they were quite normal before, but they unfortunately sometimes get totally crazy. They think they are Christ, they think they've got cosmic consciousness, and they've had some kind of meltdown in the brain. But Martinus said, meditation can be very good if you have a guru. That was the old road to initiation. But it's so dangerous when it's liberated in the Western world. And you can take a little bit of mediumism and clairvoyance, a little bit of Martinus and theosophy, and turn it into your meditation, and you can make your own melting pot, but it can be very dangerous. But You should only do it if you had a guru. And the guru knew the pupil. You can make this exercise, but not this exercise. So in that way, the pupil was protected. But Martino's idea is now that the old way in the old cultures, actually it was through meditation and with a guru. That was the way, the road to initiation. But now, in 3,000 years, the majority of human beings here on planet Earth shall have cosmic consciousness, which means they are not gurus enough. So, for that reason, Martinus has created a spiritual science. Now we live on a technical, scientific planet. For that reason, the highest knowledge about the spiritual world shall be explained in a logical way. In a way, even though it's about God and spiritual world, it shall be explained in a logical and scientific way. And Martinus calls his work for spiritual science. I know they are talking about esoteric teaching and Blavatsky, the secret doctrine and so on, and these lodges and so. In earlier times, there was a secret knowledge about the highest, and it was only very few that had access to this secret knowledge. But they're also talking about exoteric teaching, exoteric. That means that the secret teaching should go out to the masses. And I would say that Martinus' cosmology is exoteric. It's designed to go out to the masses, but in a safe way. And for that reason, Martinus is, there is a risk. And if Martinus says, in meditation is good, and if a Martinus interested person then sort of get crazy, then Martinus is responsible because he has recommended the meditation. So when there is a risk, he warns against it. But it does not mean that it's wrong in all cases, but he just, he says the protection is if you have a good relationship to God. And if the purpose of your meditation is to become a more loving person, and if you are meditating on how you can practice neighborly love, and you are thinking of God, then you are protected. So Martinus would recommend any meditation on God, and on you want to become a more loving person, you want to help practice neighborly love, then it's protected. But if you're ambitious and egoistic, I want to be initiated before the others, and I must be initiated in this incarnation, then it's risky. Then it's very risky. Now, short answer. I never heard a short question and a long answer.
Thank you.
Oh, very welcome. And you had also a...
I mean, you said in your last lecture, that people who were vegetarians would not have a less accident than meat eaters.
I did not understand all the words, but in my last lecture, I talked about animal eating animals and accidents.
Yes.
And
is that from Martinus, or is it your interpretation?
This is Martinus.
That's your interpretation.
No, I'm referring.
Does Martinus write that?
Yes, he does.
Where?
You can, I guess in the ideal food, otherwise, if you give me your, normally I can say paragraph number, blah, 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 paragraph number, dot, 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 but I cannot tell you the exact number of paragraph, but I can say generally, without talking about meat eating, he can say, you are protected to the same degree that you are protecting others. That is a universal law, and it is very logical, because if you protect others, you don't need any teaching. For example, you cannot use violence, you cannot kill. You have learned that. That's a finished side. You protect others against that. Why should you be killed or hurt if you cannot hurt others? Because now I have not talked so much about the meaning of life, but Martinus guarantees whenever we have a suffering, there is a purpose. And the purpose is that you should learn something about it. If you already have learned not to kill other people, you can possibly not be killed. If you cannot kill others, and if you are killed, this is absurd theater. So, and Martinus, I guess it is in the book, The Ideal Food. And then Martinus writes that when you are eating, What you are doing, you are just sitting very cultivated with knife and fork and eat. But then the karma can be that you have a car accident. You are killed in a car accident. You say that's two different things. You say the energy you send out will come back. But in the ideal fruit, Martinus explains that what is the essence? What is the essence in your act? It is not the detailed action that is coming back, but it's the principle in the action. And the principle in meat eating is that the animals are killed in order to I can eat them. And the animal experiences it as an accident. And then Martino says, the individual is sending an energy out in universe. And this energy will eventually come back. So, yeah, it was very, very strange. That's not important. But the principle is killing. But of course, it's two different things to sit in a nice restaurant and have a car accident. Totally two different things. But the principle, the essence is the same. It is to be killed by accident. If you are the cause to a killing of a living being by an accident, you are not protected. And those who are protected, those who cannot eat meat, they are protected because they have learned the lesson in the school of life. And if you could have sufferings in areas where you already learned it, life was a terrible torture chamber. You had sufferings which would not help anything. Whenever you have a suffering, it is because you need to learn something. And if you have learned something, you cannot have a suffering. Excuse me, now the word is yours.
This is one of the few things by Martinus that you could empirically test whether vegetarian in fact have fewer accidents than meat eaters. That is just that's something you could test them.
Yeah.
You get the statistics. Has the Martinus organization done that?
No, but I am convinced that these studies will be made. I'm very convinced that these studies will be made, but that's not the task of Martinus Institute or Martinus. Martinus says he has created a spiritual science, but science, you say natural science, it is empirical. Empirical, that means that you will make some experiments that can be confirmed. You say it is only science if you can measure and confirm the theories. There is a hypothesis, there is a theory, and you want an empirical proof that is a practical that can be measured. As far as I know, it has not been conducted yet, but I think it could be done relatively easy if you get to the assurance companies or the hospitals, if they started to register if those who died were vegetarians or not. But I cut out a lot of articles from papers, and very often those who were killed in accidents and so on, I torn it out, were very often they were hunters. They were shooting in nature, and often they were also fishing for pleasure. And I never stopped it. I tried to make my own proof, but there was also one article. There was a man in Aarhus. There was a man, he came with an axe and had beaten him in his head. It was terrible. But further down in the article, I could read the man, the victim, he was a slaughter. He was a professional slaughter. He had but that's not a proof, but I'm convinced these studies will become, and I'm very sure that there is a statistical significance for the protection of vegetarians. I'm convinced. But that is my conviction. So I'm sure that there will be conducted several scientific experiments that will confirm Martinus' cosmology. But that was not the job of Martinus. That's not the job of Martinus Institute. That is a job for the individual scientist who might become inspired by Martinus. And I, for example, now I thought that this
this sexual evolution from single-poled nest to double-poled nest. And Martinus has written 500 pages about the evolution, the characteristics of the different steps in this evolution. I am sure that psychologists, anthropologists, and so on, they will conduct a lot of studies. And they can, maybe they can have the inspiration from Martinus. They know what to look for, because Martinus shows, look for that and that and that. That is the characteristics of this evolution. And then the researchers, the scientific person at the university, they know what items they shall study in their examination. Yes?
Well, we're talking about, like, yours. Being.
Yes.
And now someone has talked about global warming.
Yes.
And I was wondering, is it caused by the humans or by the Earth itself?
Yes. Yes.
Could you answer that?
Yes. Yes. The question is, planet Earth is a living being. And now we have this debate of the global heating, the global warming. And most scientists say now it's a scientific fact that the cause of global changes in climate is the release of carbon dioxide, CO2, that is man-created. Martinus has not talked specifically about that problem, but in general, Martinus says it is the macro being that decides over the micro beings. If I say, now I want to eat, it's my decision, but maybe I felt hungry. You can say, if you are hungry in your stomach says, I want something to eat. And normally you eat, but you could also say, now I want a 3-day fast. You feel hungry, which means the stomach says, I want some food. And you say, no, you will not get anything. That's just a primitive example. So in general, that's the general principle. The macro individual decides over the micro individuals, which means that my micro individuals cannot take control over me. They cannot, it would be absurd if my lungs took over the control over my whole body, or my legs took over the control of my whole body. I am the boss, but of course I'm listening to my stomach. I feel hungry, I feel thirsty. And this would mean that the global heating, according in general to Martinus, would be no, it is the planet Earth itself that is responsible. But you could also go one step further with a cosmology. No, it is the sun that is responsible for the climate of planet Earth. And you could even get one step further. No, it is the Milky Way, our galaxy, that is responsible for the climate change. And there is one Danish researcher called Henrik Svensmark who has made some studies over cosmic radiation and magnetic storms. Sometimes there are these explosions on the surface of the sun, and then there is some magnetic radiation, solar storms. That's the reason why you have such beautiful northern light here on Iceland. I've heard about it. That is when a solar storm enters the magnetic fields of planet Earth, and then it goes towards the North Pole and South Pole. He showed that there is a relationship between magnetic storms and cosmic radiation and clouds on planet Earth. If there is a lot of cosmic radiation, there will come some small particles in the atmosphere, which leads to the clouds will build up, and when the clouds build up, it becomes colder. So he has made a research that shows when there is a lot of cosmic radiation, it gets colder. And then there is also something about our galaxy, the Milky Way, is turning around itself. It makes one turn around in 200 million years. In 200 million years, it had made one rotation. And we also have some neighbor galaxies, the Magellan clouds, the little Magellan cloud and the bigger Magellan cloud. Of course, there is also cosmic radiation from our own Milky Way and from our neighbor galaxies. But geological studies can tell you how much growth, how many plants there were, and they can geologically measure how warm it has been in earlier. And this Henrik Svensmark shows exactly that when we are passing the Magellan clouds, there is a lot of radiation, there is lesser plants in the sediments or in the fossils. So I'm very fascinated by his studies, which shows what is responsible for our climate is our macro being, the galaxy, the solar system. So,
but still we have a little responsibility as humans for cleaning up.
Yes, yes, yes.
And not...
Yes.
And maybe there's some reason for...
Yes.
...to cleaning out this yes. oil and carbon.
Yes. So, I just started to think about your geothermal plant. I saw your geothermal plant and was very impressed. That's the way to do it. That's a good way to solve the problem. But I cannot talk much about it, but Martina says it's very bad to use nuclear power. And unfortunately, the nuclear lobby, the nuclear industry is growing now, because that does not lead to CO2, carbon dioxide release, but that's even worse, the radioactive waste. That's the biggest problem. That's really a big problem. Martino said that the planet Earth got a micro illness. Could you imagine that there is a wasp that is picking you? It's very painful when a bee or wasp is picking you. Martino says such a nuclear plant or a nuclear bomb is an illness in the organism of planet Earth. It is almost like it was picked by... It feels it almost in the same way as we do when we are picked by a wasp. And Martinus also, according to the theme of the lecture today, Martinus says that... I was explaining the... Yes, he's talking about life force. Life force. The solar system, our sun, has macrocosmic life force. Macrocosmic life force. And our planet Earth also have some kind of life force. That is actually what we are using in electricity. High voltage. This high electric... In a way, Martin says, that is the life force of the planet Earth. And also, my cells, they have a bioelectricity. Bioelectricity. The bio... But electricity in my cells is microcosmic life force. But then Martino says it's unnatural that we are here so small that we are using the life power of the sun, of the stars. That's much too strong for us. So we should not laborate with macrocosmic life force. But nuclear power is very, very good on the sun. On the sun, four hydrogen atoms melts together to a helium atom, this fusion process. This provides beautiful sunshine on Iceland. For that reason, nuclear power is good for the sun, for the macrocosmic being, but it is much too strong for us as micro beings. But I don't know, we know so little about climate. I guess in Denmark it's 130 years we've measured the temperature. 130 years. We had an ice age 10,000 years ago, 50,000 years ago, 100,000 years ago. But also Svensmark is talking about millions of years and millions of years. And we only know the temperature is the last 100 years. It's almost nothing. Sometimes I say, yesterday I had a temperature of 37, today 38, tomorrow 39, day after 40. In 2 months I will boil 100 degrees. But maybe I will die, or otherwise I'll become healthy and the temperature will go down. So sometimes in my fantasy I think, okay, maybe planet Earth has a little bit fever. It has a little bit fever. But Martinus had a cosmic point of view, and that was planet Earth will have cosmic consciousness in 3,000 years. Planet Earth is not a suicidal candidate. Planet Earth has come so far in its evolution, it will not commit suicide. It is on the way to cosmic consciousness. For that reason, Martinus is convinced the planet Earth will not be destroyed by atomic power. The planet Earth will not be destroyed by a climate catastrophe. But to give the short answer to your question, human beings are not responsible for the climate. It is planet Earth and the solar system. But it's also, maybe I could come with another analogy. If I'm living very healthy, I start to drink whiskey, and I drink a bottle of whiskey every day. Then I have healthy micro-individuals. They are not satisfied. They are not pleased. They say, this is pollution. We don't want to live here anymore. Then there are cells and small micro-individuals. They will discarnate. They will not incarnate in my body anymore. But then other cells and then other micro-beings incarnate in my body. And they have come into my body to get alcohol. They really want it because we can get it here. So of course, there is a correspondence between the macro-being and the micro-beings. So if the macro-being turns into an alcoholic, then also alcoholic micro-beings will incarnate. Or if you start smoking, you want nicotine. But then, of course, there are micro-individuals that incarnate that use it. And that is also one of the explanations why it is so difficult to stop. Then I say, now I want to stop drinking whiskey. I have decided to stop drinking whiskey. But then I have cells in me. They want whiskey. So they are crying down in microcosmos, we want whiskey, we want whiskey, we want whiskey. But I cannot hear what they're saying. I cannot hear anything. But I feel a thirst. I feel I want some whiskey. So that is, you have a desire. And Martinus says that also a way of prayer. In a way, these micro-individuals saying, we want whiskey, are praying to get whiskey. And I can actually hear the prayer, but I experience it as a desire for whiskey. I have this desire, but actually, this is coming from my microcosmos. So of course, microcosmos is also to a certain degree responsible. But you say, yes, I turned into an alcoholist. But that was because my micro-individuals, they took control over me. That's a bad excuse. Your micro-individual cannot take control over you. So in the same way, you could also say planet Earth died from global catastrophe. And the planet Earth said, well, the micro-individuals took over. But that's also a bad excuse. That's not possible. So planet Earth is the chief responsible. But it is also an organ in the solar system and galaxy. I think we should stop here and drop the symbols. Thank you very much for your interest.